This evening we return to our look at the Psalms of Ascent, looking now at Psalm 126, found on page 657 of your pew Bible. Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." Well, as we continue through this study of the Psalms of Ascent, it's important as we begin, as we would seek to understand this particular psalm, to reflect upon those psalms that have come before. Because even as I was going through a number of different commentators on this particular passage, there is a little bit of division as to what this psalm is in response to. There are a number of commentators that look at this and think that this is a post-exilic psalm, one that was penned after the return of the exiles from Babylon. And that's possible. But I think the earlier psalms within the Psalms of Ascent give us some insight into other restorations that are here in the mind of the psalmist and certainly within the mind of God's people as they are in that great city of Jerusalem. If you recall back to Psalm 122, when the psalmist arrived in Jerusalem, you recall he didn't find it as he thought he would. He was rather surprised at how things were being run within Jerusalem. And in fact, as he goes through Psalm 122, then 124 and 25, he even speaks of how they were in the midst of Jerusalem, feeling the burden of those around them who were mocking them and abusing them. And so there were others who looked at this Psalm 126, and as the people cry out that the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, that they perhaps had in their mind some of those other times when even the rulers of Judah were failing to uphold their responsibilities to the Lord. Perhaps thinking even of those times like the reign of Ahaz in 2 Kings 16. Or perhaps even Athaliah, as we find it in 2 Chronicles 22. 10 through 12 and 23, 12 to 15. How in those times, in those reigns, Jerusalem didn't much resemble heaven. In fact, those who were charged to keep the worship of God pure had seen the worship of God adulterated. And we read of that this morning, of how Asherah poles were set up and how other gods were being worshipped. Those were dark days in the time of God's people. And so here we find a people that has heard of the restoration of Zion, who have heard that God has changed the atmosphere, and they can sense that change as they again, in obedience to God, come to Jerusalem in order that they might attend to the feasts. And whereas before in those earlier psalms we felt the weight of oppression that was upon the psalmist, the heaviness of heart as he was surrounded by those whom he had hoped and anticipated would be in equal enthusiasm with him to worship God rightly. Instead, he had found them at odds, challenging and mocking him. Well, now we see a completely different atmosphere. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. The psalmist uses this to help us understand just how quickly this turnaround of fortunes had come. That it didn't seem real. How quickly God had answered his prayers. How quickly God had turned around the fortunes of Zion. That it felt like a dream. And here are the worshipers of God as they ascend that hill, now in the reign of godly kings, those who care about the word of the Lord. And they're almost giddy with anticipation. Their voices are filled with laughter, their tongues with shouts of joy for what God has done. When you think of even the rulers of Judah having fallen away, we can imagine how difficult that must have been to the hearts of God's people, those who were seeking to follow after his word. It's one thing to anticipate the mockery coming from those outside of the people of God, from other nations where they had been cast out or where they resided far from this place. But it's another when those difficulties come from within. And yet God was faithful. And in this psalm, Psalm 126, we are looking at a theme of God restoring his people. And as the psalmist lays out this psalm, we see that he begins first by reflecting upon what God has done. But then he'll move into a section in which he is presently aware of what God has done and is doing. And then he ends with a confidence that is bound up in the fact that he knows God has demonstrated himself faithful in the past and faithful today, to look ahead with anticipation that what God has promised, he will bring to pass. The worshipers of God here, and this psalm in particular, is a corporate psalm. This isn't just the psalmist that is writing these words and singing these words. This is the whole community of God's worshipers joining together, lifting their voices in praise of God, reflecting upon his history of restoring his people. And certainly they could go back throughout the entirety of the Old Testament and they could recount the many times, the countless times that God had restored his people. They could go back and they could look at how God had brought his people out of Egypt, taking them out of captivity and delivering them safely to the promised land. Again, a foretaste of heaven. They could attest to how God had overcome their enemies time and time again. And all of these things would give to them greater and greater confidence in the God whom they had assembled to worship there in Jerusalem. He goes from testifying that God did this, he restored the fortunes of Zion, and filled their mouths with laughter and their tongues with shouts of joy. But we see that as he was pleased to do these things, that even these acts of God, these times that he would restore the fortunes of Zion, were a powerful witness beyond the boundaries of Israel. That even the other nations saw and would declare, the Lord has done great things for them. And then in verse 3, we see he moves from those things that have happened in the past to now reflecting upon his present confidence and his present awareness for the work of God. He says, the Lord has done great things for us. Now, as they gather together in the midst of God's temple to worship him at this time, as they look around and they see the walls of Jerusalem, as they see right worship having been reestablished, they count their blessings that God has done this great thing, that God has removed those transgressors, that God has reestablished right worship there, that he has heard their cries over these previous psalms and has been pleased once again to deliver them. But there is still a work of restoration that is needed. Though these things maybe have been made right within Jerusalem, we see that even God's people realize there is still a restoration that is to come. When we speak of Zion, it is to be directing our gaze to that one who was to come and who truly was to restore God's people, the promised one of Israel, the seed of the woman, who would come and who would crush the head of the serpent. And so here are God's worshipers saying, restore our fortunes, O Lord. Restore our fortunes. And they use this descriptor, like streams in the Negev. Well, if you ever have opportunity to travel over to this portion of the world, this is a very dry portion of the world most of the time, where the stream beds that exist within this area are often empty. And yet, in the wintertime, when the rains come, a mere inch of rain can turn these dry stream beds into mighty rivers, bringing that refreshing water. So here the psalmist says, Lord, bring refreshment to me. Lord, restore my heart. My heart which is parched, Lord, bring the refreshing waters that it needs. That, Lord, you may be pleased to bring about growth. That you might be pleased to bring about fruit for the glory of your name, for the good of your people. He goes on and uses this illustration of sowing and reaping. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. When you think of the old way of sowing, often when it was time to begin sowing the fields, those who still had grain remaining were getting near the end. And it was a daunting task to think of taking the grain that you have remaining and to apply it. For we realize that once that grain leaves our hand, it's completely out of our control. And here, they're describing those who sow, those who go about this difficult duty, do so with tears. It's a reminder for us as we go through this life that we will face difficulties, hardships, pains, perhaps sufferings, persecutions, and other things. As we go forth as God has commanded us. But though we go forth to sow in tears, he says, they shall reap with shouts of joy. Why is he confident? Well, he's confident in that God who brought restoration, the one who has proven himself time and time again, the one who was pleased to work within his heart to bring to him understanding and to turn his path from sin unto righteousness. And so he knows that as he goes forth in obedience to his God, that God, the God who is faithful in restoring, the God who hears the prayers of his people, is faithful to bring about a great harvest. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Though we labor, God will give and bring about a great crop. And certainly as we study the history of God's people, we see how God has been pleased to build his church. As we prayed this evening for those works that are going on around the world, we're reminded of the powerful way that God is blessing the sowing of seed in nations, many of whom the world would see and declare as closed, and yet God is bringing about a great harvest. We marvel when we think that even in the face of such pressures being exerted in a land like China, God's church continues to thrive and multiply and grow to some estimates of over 100 to 200 million believers. God has done it. The God who restored Zion. The God who did not leave us as sinners in that terrible place of despair, but who through Jesus Christ was pleased to bring about our restoration, making us new in Christ, giving to us new life, taking us from being something that was dead and fruitless to something that, based upon the root of Christ, brings forth great fruit. This is the God who restores his people. In the midst of challenges and disappointments, what is your first response? Do you hearken back to those accounts of God's restoration, God's faithfulness and his deliverance, for your encouragement that you may be sustained through any kind of trouble? Are you sustained today in the cacophony of political aspirations to hold fast to God's word, his promises, with contentment that he is fully in control? And though God may subject his people to the consequences of their rebellion, is your heart confident in the future that lay ahead for all of those who hope in Christ, the one whom God has sent, the one whom he has established on Zion forevermore, our King, our Priest, our Prophet, our Savior, Jesus Christ? God has done these things, and as we're reminded of what he has done, may we, like our forefathers, may our mouths be filled to overflowing with joy. May we sing his praises as we go forth from this place to the glory of his name and for the good of our neighbor. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you restore your people. That when we face hardship, whether it be from within or from without, you have demonstrated time and again your faithfulness to those who love you. And so, Lord, may we confidently face whatever this life may throw our direction, realizing, Lord, that this life is fleeting, and more importantly, realizing that you are in control. For, Lord, we are passing through, not content merely with the city of Jerusalem that is here, but aspiring after that new Jerusalem that is to come, that even now is being prepared for that time which you have appointed, when Christ's work of restoration will be fully completed, when all of sin will be done away with, where your people will be glorified and no longer will have the encumbrances of sin, and where they will delight in your will fully. Lord, we thank you for your promises that give us hope for tomorrow and the days, weeks, months, and years that may be ahead until that time that Christ comes again and all things are made new and for all eternity we can sing with joy your praises. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.